The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
In 2 Kings chapter 9, the prophet Elisha says to one of his servants, get yourself ready, take a flax of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you arrive in the place, look for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat. Take him, and I'm just going to skip around a little bit, but in the latter part of verse 2, he said, when you get there, go to Jehu and go in and make him rise up from among his associates or his brothers, because they're sitting down, and take him into the inner room. Take the flask of oil and pour it on his head. Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you to be king over Israel. Then open the door and get out of there. Verse 11, then Jehu came out with the servants of his master, and one said to him, is all well? What did that madman come to you, this is verse 11, and say to you? And he said to them, you know, he was just babbling, nothing. And they said, don't lie, tell us now. So he said, thus he spoke to me, saying, thus says the Lord, I anointed you to be king over Israel. Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps, and they blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. I want to keep reading and noticing, I promise, and I'm going to sum this up in just a few moments. Now a watchman stood, verse 17, on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu coming. And he went to the king and said, I see a company of men. Joram said, Joram's a king. Get the horsemen and send him out to meet him and let him say, have you come in peace? So the horsemen went to meet him. And he said, have you come in peace? And Jehu said, what do you know about peace? What? Turn around and follow me. So the watchman reported, saying, the messenger went to them, but he's not coming back. He said, well, send a second horseman. And he sent a second, and he said, have you come in peace? And Jehu answered, what do you know about peace? Turn around and follow me. The watchman reported back, and he said, he went, and he's not coming back, the second one. And then Joram, verse 29, said, get my chariot ready. And he rode out. Verse 22, and when Joram saw Jehu, he said, have you come in peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother, Jezebel, and her witchcrafts that are so many? I mean, he's getting bolder as he goes. He's talking about the man's mother now. And he's talking to the king of Israel. He's got armies. He's a nobody. And Joram turned around, verse 23. And Joram, this is a miracle. This is supernatural. And Joram turned around. The king turned around at the word and the anointing that was in and upon this man in this group and fled. Listen to the wording, fled. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Greater is he that is in you. Whew. Verse 24, and Jehu drew his bow. He had a bow and arrow full of strength and shot Joram between his arms, and the arrow came out at his heart. He shot his heart out in the chariot. He shot the man's heart out of his body. He shot the heart of wickedness out. And he sank down in the chariot. Verse 30. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she put pain on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. And as Jehu entered the gate, she said, have you come in peace? And he looked up at the window and said, who is on the Lord's side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled them underfoot. Verse 35, so they went, well, the next verse says, and after they did that, they went and ate and drank. And verse 35, so they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. It's a remarkable story. And I was asked by the Lord today, I know when He speaks to me, to proclaim something over you and over this church and over our nation and anyone that's listening to me around the world. And I'm preaching to you that it's turnaround time. It's turnaround time. Three times the messenger came with a question, have you come in peace? And three times the response of Jehu was, what do you know about peace? Turn around and follow me, and I'll show you what peace is. You have two forces that are colliding, and the destiny of the nation of Israel was at stake. Jezebel was in the palace. She was not ruling over the nation, but her husband Ahab was dead, and she had her son Joram like a puppet on strings. And Elijah anointed Elisha, and Elisha goes and sends his servant to anoint this man named Jehu. It's three generations, but there's coming a fourth visitation in the fourth generation. There is a turnaround anointing that is clearly seen in this text. You know, Lucifer has an anointing. He was an angel in heaven, and the Bible called him in Ezekiel 28, the anointed cherub. He is called the anointed cherub for a reason. He has a counterfeit anointing that is so strong that even though the angels were created by God and they were in His presence, that counterfeit anointing and deception that was on him, he wanted to take the throne of God, and his turnaround anointing, counterfeit anointing, caused one third of the angels in heaven to rebel against God. No wonder the Bible warns us that in the last days there would come a great spirit of deception and delusion, that even the very elect will be deceived, the Bible said. You will be shocked at people who will follow a counterfeit anointing. It's emotional. It gets you excited. It sounds right to the itching ears that don't follow the doctrine of the Bible, but it sounds good to me in my ears and in my eyes, but not in God's ears and God's eyes. And we got to be very careful. The number one warning Jesus gave about the end times is don't be deceived. That there is a counterfeit anointing. And Lucifer has such an anointing that he has the power to turn created beings, one third of them, vacated their place in heaven and willingly followed Lucifer when he was cast out of heaven. So I want you to understand that there are two forces. There's the counterfeit anointing, and there is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said that Jehu was sitting in a circle with his associates, with other leaders of the nation. They were sitting down, and they were whining and complaining about the condition of the nation. They were talking about how bad it was and how they missed the good old days, and all of a sudden, the door bursts open, and in walks a servant of Elisha, and he says, "Is one of you men named Jehu?" And Jehu says, "That's me." And he says, "Would you come with me? I'm sent by the prophet Elisha." And he took him back into a secret chamber or a room there that was to themselves. It's a secret place. And he took him in, and he had a flask of oil, which is 5 quarts of oil. This is not just a little bit of oil, anointing oil, and it was 5 quarts. He poured 5 quarts of oil on the prophet Jehu, who's just standing there minding his own business. Oil is running down his hair, down his beard, is saturating, is sloshing in his sandals. It's pouring and pouring and pouring 5 quarts of oil. And then he says, "Thus says the Lord, you have been chosen and you will be king of Israel." And he takes off and runs out of there. And the funny part of the story is after Elisha's been in this secret place with a mysterious man who poured oil all over him and prophesied he would be king, he comes sloshing out, and the little dead circle, his little circle of defeated church people, I think, are sitting there saying, "What did that madman do to you?" And he said, "Nothing." You can't hide it if you get in a place with God and you've been with the Lord and He's poured His holy oil on you. You don't have to go around with a sign saying, "I'm anointed." You just walk out and you open your mouth, and God says, and the moment He said, "All right, I'll tell you," He anointed me with oil, obviously, and He said, "I'm going to be king." And when He said that, the anointing, the turnaround anointing, hit those leaders who were sitting down, and they stood up. This is my prayer of what will happen to the church, because we're in a dangerous place. Now that things have changed and have changed in the election concerning some things, the church wants to sit down. The church says, "Now I disconnect. Now, you know, good. Now I'll just chill out." No, this is a moment. God has given us a window of opportunity, and He's saying to the church, "Stand up. Stand up. I want to turn this nation around. I want to turn campuses around. I want to turn colleges around. I want to turn the educational system around. I want to turn the church around. I want to wake them up. I want to pour out my quarts of oil on the church with a fresh anointing." And we want to just stay normal now. No. What I believe is God has given us an opportunity because time is running out. And the church better get a fresh anointing. We better stand up in this moment, because all due respect, I love Donald Trump, I'm praying for him. I love J.D. Vance, I'm praying for him. I love Kamala Harris, I'm praying for him. I love the other man, Tim Walz, I love him, I'm praying for him. God bless them all, Democrats, Republicans. They can't fix this nation. The only thing that can fix this nation is the power of the Lord hitting our churches and awakening in such a manner that we receive fresh oil. Somebody praise Him if you believe. Jesus is the answer. Jesus. And those sleepy, complaining, whining, do-nothings took off their coats and put their coats as a sign of submission on a set of staircase that was going up to the second loft, and they formed a throne out of it, and they put this no name, Jehu, who was a nobody. He didn't have an army. He didn't have $1 billion to win an election, because there was no election. God chose him. And against all odds, they say, "Sit down, King," and they get trumpets and they start blowing, "Jehu, he is king. Jehu, he is king." And then they said, "What are we gonna do now?" And that oily man stands up, his clothes all soaked in oil. And he says, "Let's go get on the horses." And the next verse said, "And they drove their horses furiously." They drove furiously to the capital city. This is what the church must do. We're in a race with the horses of the apocalypse. We're in a race for the harvest that is worldwide, and the church must receive a fresh anointing and outrun the horses of Ahab and say, "God, we are going to change and turn this nation around and our families around back to you, back to the Bible, back to church, back to home services, back to enjoying God, back to loving you." And they're, "Can you see it? Can you see him? He's got the oil clothes. They're soaked. Can you imagine if someone poured 5 quarts of oil on me and I'm up here sloshing around in my shoes and it's just all over me?" And they're riding furiously. I could just see them whipping those horses and riding furiously. "We're taking the city. We're coming for the nation. It's turnaround time for Israel. I'm preaching today, it's turnaround time for America. It's turnaround time for your family. It's turnaround time for your health. It's turnaround time for your business and your finances. It's turnaround time for your character and for your consecration and for your conviction. It's time to change course and turn around and follow the Lord." That's why God has let a change come. Not for the church to sit there. We're running out of time. And the Bible said, as they were riding furiously toward the city, that the watchmen of the city on the gate looking out on the tower saw them approaching fastly. And he ran in and told the king. And the king said, "Send out one of my trusted servants and tell him to ask, 'Have you come in peace?'" And he rode out and intercepted this. And can you imagine that sight? The blotches of oil and dust, that it's a desert, and all in his beard and all in his hair, and it's all splotches all over him. He's filthy, collecting that dust. It's all over his face. Looks like a coal miner or something coming out of the... Can you imagine what he looked like? And the king's trusted servant says, and the other guys are wild-eyed and they got trumpets. "He's king. He's king." He said, "Have you come in peace?" And watch what happened. He said, "What do you know about peace?" Jehu said, "Turn around and follow me and I'll show you what peace is." And the turnaround anointing hit him. And the man changed sides. When the turnaround anointing hit him, Robert Kennedy said, "I'm going over there." No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm just having fun. Just relax. But I do believe we're about to see some big names come over from the devil's camp to the Lord's camp. And I'm not talking about Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about saved and lost. I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. I want the turnaround anointing to hit the president. I want the turnaround anointing to hit Elon Musk. I want the turnaround anointing to hit them all. I want to see a national turnaround revival. They start riding together. People that you thought you'd never see riding together. The devil thinks he's going to divide the church. He's not dividing the church. The only division is the division between the goats and the sheep.
the real church and the counterfeit anointing. If you're in the real church, you may not agree with everything, but you know the truth when you hear it, and you know what that book says, and your allegiance is to that book, not to any party, to that book. And here, the king, the servant, the tower watchman comes back and he says, "King, that guy you sent out, he went out, but he never came back. What do you want me to do?" He said, "You go, send another one." He rode out, same question, "Have you come in peace?" Same response, same message. What do you know about peace? See, the closer we get to the central place of power, because we're not talking about flesh and blood. Jezebel, that's not a woman. It has nothing to do with that. It's a demonic spirit, clearly. And this is she was a real woman who lived, but the Bible teaches about her that in the last days in the book of Revelation, in the seven churches, Jesus said she would show up. Not a woman, or it's a spirit. It's a spirit of sexual perversion. It's a spirit of rebellion. It is a spirit of witchcraft. It is a spirit that is a counterfeit anointing. And he said it would show up in the church. There would come a counterfeit, and Jesus is rebuking one of the churches in the book of Revelation because I've seen your good works, but I have this against you. You have been seduced, preachers and churches, by the spirit of Jezebel. When you put a gay flag on your church, you're under the spell of a counterfeit anointing. When you stand in the pulpit and refuse to stand up for babies' lives, you're under a counterfeit anointing. When you stand and say marriage between a man and a woman is not the only kind of marriage God will recognize, you're under a counterfeit anointing. I'm not mad, I'm not angry, I'm anointed. And it's a turnaround anointing. He doesn't say come to church and live like you are. He says come to church and turn around and follow me, and I'll give you eternal life. It's not a mean message. I wish I could go down three gears. I wish I could. I wish I would. Listen, the key to that second messenger was he was coming with a counterfeit, basically anointing that says, compromise your message. Let's make a deal. Let's come up with a peace treaty. You just be quiet about all anything the Bible says that interferes. We can all get along here. Why you got to be controversial? Why are you still preaching on that stuff? You never did get me. I never have been preaching anything but the Bible. And there is a counterfeit gospel, and a counterfeit anointing is hitting the Christian music industry. When you see artists get out and they shake themselves and vulgar and filthy, and you see them, we can't hardly find any for our conferences because they're all so high or so drunk that we can't even get them to come out and sing their song. You don't understand. There is a counterfeit anointing, but there is a real anointing that is coming on the church that's going to turn it around. Who's on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? So I'm almost done. I'm not going to preach much longer because I got enough enemies. Amen. Boy, I feel the Lord in this place. See, pastors, if we won't compromise our message, he had the same message. He didn't change his message because culture had changed. He didn't change his message because some of the popular preachers weren't saying anything about that stuff. No, 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 no. He had the same old message. Turn around. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy. I have not changed my message. I still preach, thou shalt not, and I still preach, repent, and I still preach, love God and love one another. And honor God above all. And the turnaround anointing hit that second. I'm so thankful that there are people that God will send in our life that have a turnaround anointing. And I might be that person. You're watching me on television or watching me in a prison or watching me somewhere. I know God used a man, a preacher named Ronnie Brock in my life, and he was a turnaround person for me. I had my life planned out. I was going to be a professional musician by God's help, and I loved the Lord, and I was on a scholarship my second year in college, and I was playing my horn, and I had stuff, and I was excited about it, but this preacher started preaching, and I started listening on cassette tapes, and Ronnie Brock, who's in heaven today, he became a turning point, a turnaround agent in my life. I would have gone a totally different way had I not heard that man under the anointing preach. And it's like, even to this day, I can hear him preaching to me sometimes when I'm in the pulpit because I listened to hundreds of his messages. Hundreds of them. He was a turnaround person in my life. Don't you ever underestimate what God can do when you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in a service like this, watching me by television. He can turn you around and you can lay down that bottle and you can pick up a Bible. He can turn you around and you can come out of that addiction and you can come out of that depression and you can come out of those suicidal thoughts and you can find joy you never knew existed. Follow me and I'll show you what peace is. Take a praise break. Take a praise break. Come on, America. It's a turnaround moment, that's for sure. Who's on the Lord's side? They tell the king what happened to the second servant. He said, get my chariot ready. I'm going out myself. And this is where we are prophetically. We're no longer dealing with lower ranking demons. We're no longer dealing with lieutenants and sergeants in the demonic kingdom. The king, devil himself, is coming. And I'm so afraid that the church thinks it can just go right back to how things were. When you don't understand, this is about your children and your children's children. If we don't have revival, the answer is not a political answer. That can help policy. Good, wonderful. But that is not the answer. The answer is a spiritual problem in America. We must turn around and go back to God, go back to the cross, go back to the blood, go back to the name, Jesus' name. Above every name. Hallelujah. And he rides out big and bad. And when he rides up, he says, do you come in peace? You ready to make a deal now? Because I got a lot of pressure on you now. I got the armies. I got the money. I've got the kingdom. I've got the connections and the pedigree. And you're a nobody. What have you got? I could see Jay Hughes say, I don't have any money. So money didn't put me here. I don't have any connections or pedigree. None of my connections were from your world. I don't have an army. You got it all. CIA, FBI, you got it all. All I've got is the anointing. All I've got is the appointing. All I've got is this oil on me. And God said that we're taking this nation and we're going to turn it around, and you can't stop me. And the Bible said, watch it, that anointing hit the king and he turned his chariot around and took off running. And when he did, Jehu took his bow and his arrow and strongly released that arrow, and it shot the king's heart out. We preachers, we need to quit nicking sin and wounding, shooting the ear. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I'm trying to get him. I don't know. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Fix it. You know what I'm saying. Aren't you tired of preachers just getting up and kind of barely and preaching against sin? Just a little wound. Oop, it was like a BB gun, you know. Oop. We used to shoot each other with BB guns when we were kids, and we'd wear heavy clothes. And I don't know why I've got eyeballs. I really don't. I don't. But we used to be the funnest thing. And please don't tell your children that. But that's kind of what preachers are doing, you know, little, I don't want to get controversial. We need to shoot the heart of wickedness, not people, that demon spirit. And so he rides in, and Jezebel looks out her window and she sees him coming through the gate. And that spirit of Jezebel says, if I can't get the church and the ministers any other way, remember, she's in the end time church. She infiltrates the end time church. And it's not about a female gender. It's about a spirit. The Bible said there were only three eunuchs around her. Eunuchs were men who had surgically been castrated and their sex had been taken. A Jezebel spirit has hit this nation to such a degree that we are castrating healthy young teenagers and young people. It is the spirit of Jezebel, perversion, immorality, ungodliness. It's pornography. It's abortion. It's outside of the convention buses while the convention is going on. Aborting babies. Don't we need to repent? Does the conscience of our heart so hard that we don't understand this is a counterfeit anointing, and any preacher who's a part of that is under the spell of Jezebel? And I say this in fear and trembling, because judgment has begun in the house of God. We're seeing ministry after ministry after ministry, and I stand fear and trembling. God, help us to stay clean. God, help us to... And notice that anybody who's around Jezebel, they're impotent, meaning they cannot reproduce a new generation. They may make it a little while, but there is a point where God says, you've hung out with that filth so much. You've compromised. You've cheated on your wife. You've done this. You've done that. And at some point, God says, I'm cutting off the reproduction of your ministry, of your wealth, of your health. It's an unproductive spirit that cannot impact generations. You can lose your children. You can lose your family just looking and leaning in and participating and hanging out with that demon of perversion. And the Bible said this man who had the anointing. Our protection is the Holy Spirit unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Whew. What a scripture, right? Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Jehu under the anointing said, I'm not giving in to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said, who up there is on the Lord's side? And that turnaround anointing hit those three unproductive men, and they picked her up and threw her out of the palace. And she hit the ground, and the prophecy was, your blood will be splattered and the dogs will lick up your blood. And then, strangely, they went and sat down and ate. And while they were eating, the rest of the prophecy was fulfilled. Dogs, wild dogs came and tore her to pieces, and there was nothing left but her hands, her feet, and her skull. One woman named Madeline O'Hare, back in the 60s, had a counterfeit anointing. And she single-handedly, an atheist, got prayer out of the schools, got the Ten Commandments and the teaching of the Word of God out of the schools. She turned the whole nation with a counterfeit anointing away from God. And this is sad. This is tragic. A serial killer killed her and buried her on his farm, where they found the remains of a lot of victims. And the only way they were able to recognize her was through DNA, and all that they found of her was her hands and her feet. If one woman could be used for evil with a counterfeit anointing, what can God do if every one of us would say, Lord, pour out your turnaround anointing on me and let me see it, especially in my own family. Turn us back to you. Turn us back to you. Turn us back to the altar. Turn us back to worship. Turn us back to prayer. Turn us back to holiness. Turn us back to sanctification. Turn us back to purity. Turn us back to wholesome living. Talk right, walk right, live right. Stand to your feet all over this room. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, please. Do you know that the Titanic, which was called a ship that was so engineered brilliantly that it was too big to fail? That's what people think about America. America can fall. If we don't have a turnaround spiritually in this nation, there's no politician that can change the direction we're going. Pray for them, influence them, I will, all I can. But my hope is not in any man. My hope is in the power of the Holy Spirit, that in the last days I will pour out. There it is. Here comes the five ports on the sons and the daughters. Now listen, this is what I saw this week that I was not aware of. Did you know that while they were racing across the icy Atlantic Ocean to doom and destruction, an iceberg was waiting that would drown 1,500 plus people in the icy, dark waters of the ocean. That 12 times, this is a fact, 12 times they were sent warnings, two-word message, change course, change course. They went another 100 miles, change course. danger, change course. 12 times they were sent warnings. The Holy Spirit, because He's given us these 4 years, is saying to America, change course. He's saying, turn around. Come back to me, prodigal son. Come back to young person, your mama and daddy raised you right. They raised you right. Turn around. You're going in the wrong direction. You are under a counterfeit anointing. It's telling you God isn't real and any old way will get you there. And if you want to go through New Age or whatever it is, you're going off more than Jesus. There's no other name and there is no other way. You go through Jesus and Calvary and the cross and the blood, or you are forever doomed in eternity. Turn around. Turn around. Giving you warning after warning, change course. Cast that demon out of your window, and I close with this. This is where the Lord, I felt in prayer, took me yesterday. And in Matthew chapter 12, here's where America is. When an unclean spirit, verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. It's like a sweeping out happens when someone who is controlled by evil spirits, God cleans them out and God empties them out. We've seen a sweeping out and a potential for cleansing. But here's what it says. Then he, speaking of that spirit that was swept out, says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it. Here's the key. He finds it empty. If we don't get full these 4 hours, these 4 years, if we don't get full these 4 years that God has given us of the Holy Spirit, we cannot just be swept and have a sweep out and remain empty. We must fill ourselves with the 5 quarts of God's oil and fresh anointing called the Holy Spirit. Then he goes, speaking of that demon, and he gets 7 other spirits. And those spirits are more wicked than himself. If you think what we were looking at and facing was wicked, that spirit sits back. And this is what happens when you get saved, by the way. If you don't get filled, if you don't fill the empty place, that demon will sit back and he'll watch whether or not you're filling your life up with Jesus. And if you're not doing it, he'll bring 7 more demons more wicked than himself. Listen to it. And those spirits, they will enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man or that nation is worse than the first. So shall it be also. These are Jesus' words with this wicked generation. If we don't get full of the Holy Spirit, when God has, by His grace and mercy, given us another chance, and we remain empty Christians, 7 times more of evil is coming. It's called the Antichrist. But we can affect generations right here this morning. And I'm going to do something different. I don't know why I feel like doing this, but I think it's like we need to take a moment right here. We need to put pause on everything, and we need to say, Lord, we worship you. And Lord, pour it out on us. Pour it out on us this morning. I'm serious about what I'm saying. I am not letting up on the gospel for the next 4 years. I'm going to preach like I've never preached by God's grace. I'm going to preach like I've never preached. I feel like we're running out of time. Maybe I'm running out of time, but I feel an urgency. I feel an urgency. I feel a desperate urge. I feel a fear of the Lord to walk careful. because these are unusual times. My God, a man's out and he's over and he's shot and left, falls on a stage and a millimeter away from death. And what is going on? Now he's president. What is going on? It's got to be more than Republicans and Democrats. There is a spiritual something that is going on. Don't you see it? Can we get beyond all that other stuff and say, Lord, I just want to be at your feet. I just want to be full of you, not empty in times like these. You would say, Pastor Jensen, pray for me. Pray for me. If you want to be full of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking every person who will to get out of your seat as close as you can get and come down to the altar and throw your hands up, saved or unsaved. Maybe you're here and you're empty. You're empty. You know you're saved, but you're empty and you need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need a turnaround in your family, a turnaround with one of your children, a turnaround in your marriage, a turnaround in your family. Come and stand on behalf, and some of you veterans, come and stand in for America this morning and throw your hands up and receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Begin to worship in spirit and in truth. Begin to magnify him and receive his blessing and receive his anointing. We've got to, you can be the turning point for your high school. You can be the turning point for your family. Just like I had somebody in my life that turned me around, interrupted my plans. Come on, lift those hands all the way up the aisles. I want everybody that will, let's enter into God's presence. Lord, I worship you this morning. It's for our families and our children and our children's children. Worship him. Lay your hands on your family. Lay your hands on your family. Worship him. We worship you, Jesus. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Come on and worship him. That's what we need. That's the turnaround.
He is with you.
Just lift your hands. The presence of the Lord is just lingering in this place. Just worship Him, everybody. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and worship Him. Praise Him. Adore Him. Love Him. Magnify Him. Oh, we bow down at your feet. Holy, 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 holy. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Worthy is the Lamb. Listen, listen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Sing harmony.
Praise you.
Hallelujah.
Heal somebody's body right now. Heal somebody's body.
which means lift up the name. That word means lift up the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand right now and say, Jesus, I give you full authority of my life. Turn my thinking around. Turn my heart around. Let the world grow strangely dim. Everything that glitters, I want you to be my main affection. I turn my heart back to you. I receive the turnaround anointing that I can help turn some people around, turn some children around, turn some young people, some grandkids, some brothers, some sisters, some husbands, some wives, some relatives. I want to be a turnaround person for your kingdom. I want to witness again. I want to be on fire again. I want the oil of your anointing dripping and saturating me. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. We receive it for our nation. Lead us and guide us. 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 Awaken your church, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.